I'm Christine Pittman, and this is Jump to Recipe, the show for busy people who love to cook. Let's jump in. We are in that lead up to Thanksgiving, and there is Thanksgiving dinner talk everywhere. I am not doing that on this show today. If you want great Thanksgiving tips, you need to go to my other podcast, Recipe of the Day. You can search for that wherever you get your podcasts, or go to cookthestory.com/ROTD and subscribe there and browse the episodes. I am telling you, last week we did a healthy sweet potato casserole. I have a how to prep your own fresh pumpkin for pie. That was yesterday. Today's episode is about how to dry brine a turkey. Last week I did roasted turkey in parts, how you roast the turkey, like the breast separate from the drumsticks, and why you'd want to do that. It's brilliant. We're doing all kinds of turkey talk and side dish talk over on Recipe of the Day. And so I thought that on this show, I would be more of a little distraction, inspiring you about the other things that you can make, because we can't just eat turkey right now, right? We still have our Monday dinners and our quick Wednesdays, busy kids, all of that to do. And so I have a meal plan at the end of the show that is just a fun, tasty meal plan that'll work for any week of the year. And next, I am talking with Stephanie Manley of copycat.com. Stephanie has had that site since 1995. So you have definitely been there. If you've searched for how to make any kind of restaurant food before, Alfredo from Olive Garden, that kind of thing, you have been on Stephanie's site, and I am going to talk to her now. And I'm asking the question that I most want to know about what restaurants think about our copycat recipes online. Okay, let's talk to Stephanie Manley of copycat.com. Hey, Stephanie, how's it going?
It's going really well. How are you?
I am great, and I'm super excited to talk with you. So you do copycat recipes, and I am always wondering if the restaurants and the brands, if those companies are upset about the fact that you are sharing their secrets.
So I've been doing this since 95, so it's a really long time. So what's that, 25, 26 years now. In the past, a couple of restaurants have gotten upset and sent me some email from their lawyer. So that has happened, but most restaurants tend to welcome it and encourage it. I'll get emails from some of the restaurants that have been invited into kitchens. I've been guests at preview dinners, and sometimes the restaurants will even send me a recipe or two.
Oh, wow. So do they think of it as like advertising? Are you helping them, or they just think they can't stop it, so why not join it? Like, do you have a sense of why they are being helpful?
I think it's probably a combination of things. One is that it's good branding and marketing for them, because even if you don't go to the restaurant, you're still trying their dish and you're still talking about it. And that brand or that restaurant is still in your mind. Whether, you know, let's say you go to Olive Garden and make their Alfredo sauce, you try it there and you come back home and make it. You're still talking about them. You're still enjoying the Olive Garden in a new way. So I think most of them have taken to the point to where they, as long as you don't disparage the restaurant or say how horrible something is, I think they honestly encourage it at this point.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And probably also, like, you're probably sharing these things on social media and other people are sharing them. I'm sure every single time the words Olive Garden show up somewhere with a happy picture, happy comment, whether it's somebody made it at home or it's your recipe or it's somebody gushing about their visit there. It's all good, right?
Yes, it's great publicity for them. So yeah.
Well, that's good. So you're not in conflict. You don't have to like dress like a spy and sneak into the restaurants to try the food or anything like that.
No, I'm very glad, because you know, some of the restaurants I've been to so many times, I think like, oh Lord, they're on to me. But no, I don't.
That's great. So let's back up. How did you get started? You said 1995. How did you get started doing this back then?
Okay, so that's when the website became a thing. So I grew up in a really small town. When I say small town, I mean, we didn't even have a stop light. We had a stop sign. It's no joke.
Whoa.
So driving into like Houston was a big treat to go out to eat. And you didn't do it that often because it took you like an hour to get there to eat and an hour back home. And you just didn't do it that often. So I kind of started with Olive Garden Alfredo sauce. I thought it was magical. It wasn't anything my mom made. It wasn't anything that was served up in the big city of Cold Spring, Texas. So that, and what was it? Sweet and sour sauce. So I started collecting or creating recipes. I've been cooking since I was 5. And I was an only child. My mom, I think she just thought, go do something, go cook. You just have to eat it and clean up after yourself. So I've been cooking forever. So I would like collect recipes and write them down. So back in 1995, the web was just kind of starting up and I put my recipes on a web page. And from there, Copycat kind of grew. I also had my family recipes on there, but nobody cared about grandma's chicken. Everybody cared about my version of the Olive Garden Alfredo sauce. So I kind of just leaned into that and kept on creating recipes ever since then.
Wow. Wow. So website in 1995, what did that
mean? It was very different. Yeah. So you would have to write things in Notepad. Some people may appreciate this. FTP them up. And, you know, the pages didn't have pictures or anything. It's just words. And then you'd have to do everything manually. So it was quite the Wild West back then on the online.
Yeah. Was there even like search engine kind of stuff? Like who were people able to find your stuff? Was it mostly your like friends and family who were coming to see your recipes because they knew they were there?
It was interesting. So I think Yahoo was the big search engine back then. And you had to petition to be listed on in their directory because that was before search engines started to search and crawl the web. So it was mostly word of mouth. Early on, I think I was mentioned in Newsweek magazine. Yahoo used to have a magazine when they were big. It was several magazines that they would get mentioned in. Today's Women, stuff like that. So traffic kind of grew through word of mouth. So that's how people found out about it.
Very different. And like no Facebook even then, right?
So no Facebook, no social media. I think Twitter came along a few years later. So
yeah,
it's very different back then.
Well, that's amazing. I think I've talked to a lot of people with websites, a lot of bloggers on this show, and I think 1995 is the oldest site that I've encountered.
And I didn't have my domain back then. So let me be clear about that. I think the domain was bought in 1997 because you couldn't buy your domain back then.
Oh.
So the magazine mentions gives you a completely different URL. But I bought the domain as soon as I could. And it was kind of funny because I couldn't buy Copycat. Because that was already taken by someone who did copywriting. So that's how Copycat got spelled differently. It was like, oh, well, let me change one of the letters. And that's how it ended up copykat.com. But yeah, that was 97 when that got started.
I love that. And so how many recipes do you have? Have you been there that long?
So that's interesting. I've probably developed 2,500 recipes over time. But I have started to remove recipes that aren't popular and the ones that nobody looks at or were named badly or for a variety of reasons. So I think I'm at around 2,000 recipes right now because, you know, things have changed over time. It used to be enough just to put up a recipe. Now you need to put up some notes along how to cook it, how to prepare it, how to freeze it. But you also need to photograph it and you need to photograph it well. Mm-hmm. And people also are used to video right now. So unless if I'm willing to commit to photographing it, creating a video with it and really spending a lot more time on it, it's not going to go on the website or it's going to be removed from the website.
No, that makes sense to me. I mean, your website's fantastic and you want people to come and have a good experience and only find the stuff that you really, really stand behind and love. And that
right. I want to be proud of it. And I want you to be proud of it and know what you're going to get and know what it's going to look like. So no mysteries for anyone.
Yeah, no, that's really, really great. So I want to know how you go about copying a recipe. Like, are you like in Olive Garden eating the Alfredo sauce 20 times and making notes? You take it home. Like, what is the process?
That's funny. So it kind of varies. So definitely I found that I have to go to a restaurant more than once. I have to go to it to a couple of different times and preferably at a couple different locations because restaurants can have different experiences depending on who's cooking that day. I don't know why. Food can come out very differently. Mm-hmm. If no matter if you order that same dish, if it involves cooking, it can end up a little bit differently. So I'll go try it a few times and then I'll always order some and take it home. And I always like taste it when it's hot. I'll make some notes. My phone has horrible food pictures in it, you know, not even like plated wells, like just looking like, does this have onions? Does this have chopped up garlic? Does mm-hmm. it have, you know, parsley, whatever. Then I'll take it home and then I will start with the base recipe. It's like, let's say I'm going to do a recipe for we'll just say Olive Garden Alfredo sauce. I would take it home and I would take a basic recipe of Alfredo sauce and then I would continue to modify it until I thought I got it right. And then I'll let other people test it and give it a whirl. And then I'll, you know, compare it again sometimes.
Yeah.
No. So sometimes it can take a lot to do that.
Yeah, for sure. How many times do you think you've made the Alfredo sauce?
Well, I mean, that one probably wasn't that bad. But there was one that I finally gave up after 18 tries. Wow. It was a chocolate chip muffin. I just said, forget it. And the Starbucks sous vide egg bites, I think those were in the 20 plus rounds. And I couldn't eat them anymore for about a year and a half. I just could not put them in my mouth.
Yeah, I really like them and I've made them. I wonder if it was your recipe that
I don't know. It's just like, sometimes, I mean, I want it to be as close to the restaurant as possible. Mm-hmm. And that means I'm not trying to influence it the way I would make it or how I would cook it for myself. Mm. So sometimes that's hard to do. Yeah. So it sometimes can take a lot. Sometimes they're pretty easy, but sometimes they take a lot of work.
Yeah, no, that makes sense to me because restaurants have different equipment, different techniques, access to different like chemicals, like just different things. And I know a lot of people, I mean, I think some of the copycat, I have a few copycat recipes on my mm-hmm. sites. They're more like, they're not that kind of thoroughly tested like you are. It's kind of like, if I was going to make this kind of thing at home, this is how I would do it. Not like that exacting. But when you actually try to do that, so are you, when you're doing those sous vide bites, were you sous vide cooking them?
Yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Because they come out with a very different texture if you do them in an instant pot, if you boil them slowly in water, if you bake them in the oven. People ask me all the time, what about all these ways? And it's like, the results aren't going to be the same. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So it's very interesting. So I try to pick out recipes that people can cook at home with equipment that they do have. Mm-hmm. I don't like to do too much with specialty equipment that you aren't going to have or ingredients you aren't going to find in a normal grocery store. I lived out in the country for years. I know that all grocery stores aren't large and have 40 types of pasta. I know that, mm-hmm. you know, they have three and you just deal with it. Mm-hmm. So I really try to think about the recipes before I develop them mm-hmm. to make sure they're achievable in a standard kitchen with simple and easy to find ingredients.
That's really, I really like that a lot. So yeah, so especially actually if you think about your story and how this started, if you're mm-hmm. in a small town and can't get to the restaurants and therefore you want to make the copycat recipes at home for your family, you don't want to drive an hour to the big grocery store to get the ingredients.
Yeah.
You could just go to the Olive Garden while you're there.
Exactly. Because it's going to cost you just as much by the time you get out of the grocery store. If you're like me, I don't go in with a list and I buy 47 things else that, you know.
That is me happens. Also. I hear you. So what are your favorite restaurants to do copycat recipes from? Do you have some that come up over and over again?
Oh, so this is probably, I'm probably not going to answer this in the way that you expected. I really just go with what my readers like. I try to be very agnostic. It doesn't matter to me. I do this website for my readers. I want them to have a great experience. I want them to get recipes that they've tried in restaurants and they make it home. So again, it's mostly by request. Now, me personally, what restaurants do I love? Strangely, they're probably not on the website. I love Culver's. I've only done a few from them. You know, I'll break for Culver's anytime or very strangely, just giving you fast food though. Captain D's. Oh, I love Captain D's. But no, I just try to go with what people want and not mm-hmm. my own preferences. And that was interesting. Somebody once wrote to me, commented, who do you think your website's for anyway? And I thought, wow, that's rather rude. And I deleted her email and I wish I could have thanked her for it because once that finally sunk in with me, I know my website is for the people that come to the website, that my whole perspective changed. So it's whatever you guys want and email me and tell me you want. Guess what? If it's achievable and doable, that's what you're going to get.
I love that so much. I want to tell you a similar story. I had a series on my site, 52 soups that were ready in under 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And so every week I did this 15-minute soup. And I had this long blog post that went with each one about like why it worked in 15 minutes and all like these. And right? Somebody left this comment that said, what is the point of giving me a 15-minute soup if I have to spend an hour reading to get all the information about it? And I was angry back then. Like I was like, yeah, you've missed the point. And I, you know, and now, yeah, and like, you know, a year later or something, I was like, oh, yeah, that totally defeats the purpose. And who was this for? And was I writing it for my readers or was I writing it like for me or like clearly not for the person, yeah, who wants to know how to make a 15-minute soup? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. I think you have to change your perspective and make sure you're delivering on what people want, mm-hmm, you know.
I love that. Well, Stephanie, this has been so fun and interesting. Can you let people know where they can find you online if they want to know what you're up to and have any questions, sure, or they want to recommend a recipe for you to create?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find me pretty easily online, just copykat.com, copycat.com. So I'm on Facebook. I have about 800 videos on YouTube. You can just put in my name, Stephanie Manley, or copycat.com. You'll find me there. I'm on Facebook and Instagram, under copycat recipes. So you can just let me know what you'd like to see and we'll see what we can do.
I love that. Thanks so much, Stephanie.
Thank you.
So fun, right? I just love that we can bring our favorite restaurant food into our home and that there are people like Stephanie out there that we can trust to show us how to do it. I hope you loved that conversation. I know I always love chatting with Stephanie. Okay, now I am going to turn to a meal plan for the week. It does have a copycat recipe in there or two, but mostly it's just a really tasty menu that you can pull out of your back pocket anytime and know that pretty much anybody's gonna like this food. Okay, let's jump in. We are starting off the week with a copycat recipe. This is a broccoli cheese soup, just like Panera's. It's not served in a bread bowl though. Instead, you do these really yummy croutons for on top, and you're gonna serve that with some toasted hamburger buns. Then on day two, we are doing a sheet pan salsa verde chicken dinner. This has tomatillos, onions, garlic, jalapenos, all cooked together with some chicken. Then you take those veggies off and you kind of blend them up, and then it's this beautiful sauce to have with chicken served on quinoa. On day three, you're doing an Olive Garden tortelloni alfredo copycat dinner with grilled chicken, and you're gonna make a nice Italian salad like that. So it's kind of like those Olive Garden salads, you know what I mean? Then on the fourth day of this meal plan, you're gonna use some leftover quinoa, so you have to have made extra on that other quinoa day, and you're gonna have that as like steak salad bowl. So quinoa, salad ingredients, and you're gonna cook up some steak to slice, either flank steak or skirt steak. I will link to how to cook both of those for you, and that just gets spread out on the top of the quinoa and salad ingredients, and I would love like a horseradish mayonnaise sauce for that. You can just buy it at the grocery store or mix together horseradish, mayonnaise, and some salt and pepper. Okay, then we are doing our last day of the week, some homemade turkey burgers. I've told you about these before. This is my go-to turkey patty recipe. Everybody loves these, even people who think they don't like turkey burgers. It's because there's some ingredients and techniques in making this burger patty that really gives it like a really meaty texture and flavor. You're gonna love those, and you're gonna have those with some baked sweet potatoes topped with marshmallows. So instead of like sweet potato fries, we're going on a Thanksgiving journey with the side dish there. Okay, that is our fun and easy meal plan for the week. You can get this meal plan at cookthestory.com/meal plans, and it is meal plan number 111. It also has a great grocery worksheet there just for you with all the links on it as well. Super convenient. And with that is our show for the week. Don't forget to check out the Recipe of the Day podcast for all kinds of amazing Thanksgiving ideas and tips. You're not going to believe what we have coming up over the next week and a half. Really, really great help for you if you're planning your dinner or if you have a potluck or something that you're going to take a dish to. There are so many good ideas, one a day and Recipe of the Day. Head to cookthestory.com/ROTD to subscribe and to get to all of our episodes. And I want to say a huge thank you for listening. I really love that you're out there. Please make sure that you're subscribed to this show as well. You can do that by hitting subscribe or follow wherever you are listening right now, or go to cookthestory.com/jump-to-recipe and you can subscribe there. You can listen there, but it is best to subscribe. And then you know that these episodes are always in your podcast feed. Okay. Thanks again for listening. Thank you to Stephanie from copycat.com for inspiring us for all these years with restaurant food at home. And as always, thank you to Audio Snack for all the great music. Have a wonderful week.
You make me wanna